Peace. This is the Last Call for Knowledge podcast, a podcast where we strive to empower each other on topics around relationships in an honest space to challenge the status quo and a space for healing and to question the boundaries that society has set up for us. I am your host, Martin Ali, and welcome back to episode 14. Yo, this is a very special episode for me. You know, a lot of the times I get on the mic and I talk about, you know, real world things that deal with society and community issues, things of the past, you know, kind of things of the present moment of now. And I would kind of like intersect and like interject, you know, my feelings and how I see it just a little bit. But nah, son, this episode is a little bit different. I think I said it like back when I first started doing the podcast that this podcast is like a therapy session for me. And I said that as like a cliche saying, but I was being literal. Like that's why people may say like, yo, this dude drop an episode every 3 months, you know, and it wasn't so much about me being consistent with the episode and giving y'all something, you know, weekly or every 2 weeks. Cause I feel like the, in so many words that the podcast world can give you that, you know, a lot of people have 3 or 4 podcasts on their phones that they listen to. And so I felt like the moments that I'm not giving y'all an episode, the game is heavily saturated and I'm quite sure you can find something to keep, you know, your attention spans going. And so what that did for me, you know, it allowed me to breathe. It allowed me to hop on when I wanted to. And circle back, when I said that this is like a therapy session for me, this episode, the reason why I say it's a special one, it's heavy for me, man. We're talking about therapy. We're talking about mental health. And I think I talked about wellness a couple episodes ago. We done an episode about overcoming adversity, but and doing vision boards. But this one, man, this one is directly for me. I'm just going to talk about, you know, mental health and, you know, my connection and what I've been dealing with, as of late. So, you know, strap in, tune in, and, you know, listen up. I would say for the past year, I have really took a notice of my mental health and just trying to figure out. And no, let me circle back. So the first thing, it started with me writing the book, getting the book done, getting it published, but it allowed me to revisit a lot of things about my past that I have never thought about. And when I was just trying to dig deep to give the readers, you know, some context around what I was talking about within the book, you know, about my life, it opened up this avenue of my childhood. And with that, it had this deep reverence connection to mental health. And for me, you know, mental health and understanding that the feelings that you have when you're having a mental health episode, that, you know, in so many words, that those feelings, they aren't facts, right? But what they can be, you know, what I like to think about, what they can be, I say the feelings aren't facts. They are a warning sign to ourselves. And writing this book, it showed me that I was dealing with depression. I've been dealing with anxiety. I've been dealing with imposter syndrome. I've been dealing with post-traumatic stress syndrome, PTSD. And those feelings, dealing with mental health, have all projected their feelings on me. And that's how the book, you know, it helped me to unpack. You know, writing the book helped me to unpack. If you haven't gotten the book, you can get it at my website. The book is titled The Last to Finish: The Black Bull Experience of Overcoming Adversity. You can get it directly from me on my website, which is www.martinjali.com. You can get the paperback copy or you can get the ebook copy. and the one thing I pride myself on with the book is that, you know, the book is 110% done by me, independently. So I kind of made the book into a brand. So once you hop on the website, you can buy the ebook, you can buy the physical copy, you can buy a t-shirt. And as of late, I made these equity hats. You know, if anybody know me, I'm always talking about equity over equality. And so I made these hats, and you know, if you want to get a book, if you want to get a t-shirt, if you want to get a hat, then hop on the website www.martinjali.com and get you a copy. But again, the book, what it done for me, it helped me to unpack and think about my childhood, and the book deals with, you know, childhood trauma. It deals with mental health, and it deals with self-empowerment. And, you know, those things are talking about overcoming for a black boy, you know, it's dealing with me dealing with depression, me dealing with anxiety, me having imposter syndrome, not even knowing that I had these things, right? And then definitely PTSD. And I don't even know where the PTSD stems from, you know, within conversation, because it's so many points that I can point out to where it can fit the narrative, you know. And with that, recently I have seeked out how to heal myself, and I seeked out how to heal myself by finding a therapist, right? And me finding a therapist was very important for me, just for my well-being. Now firstly, I will say this, I'm somebody that's always talking about race, and sometimes it can be a distraction for me, because with me trying to be strong for myself, right, we're talking about mental health, you know, when I was seeking out a therapist, the guy that I found, he's actually probably maybe mid-30s, and it's a white male. And the first session or assessment that we had for the therapy session, you know, after meeting with him, first off, I didn't even know where to start, like, the conversation off with, but just not knowing that that was like a baseline episode for us. And when I got to my car, like, sometimes I sit in my car and I think, and I'm thinking to myself, like, how is this white man gonna, you know, understand everything that I've been through? And there I was again, you know, trying to figure things out. And that's the entire reason why I'm going to therapy. You know, race has nothing to deal with it. One would say they beg to differ, because, you know, sometimes having a black therapist, you know, maybe he can understand what I'm going through. But if this person was black and not a white person, he can have more of a empathetic feel for it. And I just didn't want to go in with that kind of toxic mentality. And so, you know, seeking therapy already, man, has been a struggle, but I'm willing to give it a try. And so with this episode right now, with it being released, I'll be going to my third session next week. So we have met up twice, and it has helped me just to have structure in my life, and we haven't even talked about much yet, you know. And so the race part is kind of out the window. I've kind of already sketched that out the box, and you know, I'm focusing on my healing. This is me, you know, dealing with years of putting up this facade that nothing bothers me, you know, years of being strong for everybody but myself. You know, and I guarantee you, man, with me talking about mental health and saying that I deal with some form of depression, I deal with some form of anxiety, imposter syndrome, and PTSD, I'm not saying they're all things that I struggle with, because I'm able to function throughout my day. But having a therapist, it allows me to think for myself just for once. Because I say that because this has been years, right? This has been years of being strong for everybody but myself. You know, I get so many phone calls, text messages from family, friends, and just people asking me for my advice on life. and I'm able to help them out. But then when it comes to looking myself in the mirror, after so many years, I'm finally able to be strong for myself. This is, I gotta take a breather after that, man. Whew. This is years of childhood trauma. You know, I've been masking and hiding behind the clear signs, right? Just signs to avoid people, places, or things that may trigger my mental health. And it's certain people, places, and things that do trigger my mental health, and it causes my mental health to take a decline, right? You know, growing up wasn't easy for me. I mentioned the north side of St. Louis all the time, and I think that's part of it, right? Me thinking about my childhood so much, thinking about what my mom and dad was going through. My mom, you know, drug addiction. My dad, addiction to selling drugs. It has got to the point to where, you know, it could be an outstanding movie. And if it's a movie that deals with drugs, if it shows a person doing drugs, if it shows a person that's intoxicated, inebriated off alcohol, you know, it immediately spoils the whole movie for me. It will ruin that whole afternoon or whatever I'm going through for me, you know. And these are triggers. Again, these are people, these are places and things that that triggers my mental health, and it causes my mental health to take a decline, right? And this is just one of them. So I asked myself, what are these triggers? The triggers of feeling manipulated sometimes. I have the feeling of feeling like I'm being judged all the time. I deal with the feeling of having the lack of affection, and I talk about that in my book with my wife and my son. I have this feeling like life was unfair. I talk about that when I went through foster care. I talk about that when, you know, I do my best to be a productive person, but it seems like sometimes life just want to make me take 5 steps back. And lastly, I feel like I couldn't be honest with myself. You know, the one person that matters is me. And, you know, one of my triggers is feeling like I couldn't be honest with myself. Now, that lack of affection and feeling like life is unfair, those are childhood traumas. You know, I don't recall my mom and my dad being super affectionate. They just weren't. You know, you had to search for it. And it's this part within the book where I gave my mom a separate chapter and I gave my dad a separate chapter within the book. Now, I talk about them all throughout the book because the book is a memoir, right? But it's this part of the chapter about my dad. And we're talking about the lack of affection. And so for me as a kid, I was always trying to look for it. You know, we didn't throw outside, go to the park and throw balls together. You know, he didn't really come to my basketball games, but he came when he could. And we didn't do hugs, you know. And so that affection part is just, it wasn't there. And that has literally engulfed itself into how I am as an adult with my own wife and my son. You know, it's a struggle for me to be super affectionate. And I think that's a trigger that reverts back to my dad. And so within the book, right, it's the chapter where I'm discussing my father, and, you know, I'm bigging my dad up. And I'm understanding what he was going through when he was just trying to figure out what a father was while being a dad. You know, you kind of learn it on a job. And me as this kid, I was always searching for it, just trying to find it when I could. And I mentioned this time when I was in high school, and you know, my dad had me a car in high school where I had this Ford Escort, and I had this part-time job after school, and I was a bagger at a grocery store. When I wasn't bagging groceries, I was out in the parking lot retrieving the shopping carts, right? And so my dad one day, I'm in a grocery store, and I'm bagging up, you know what I'm saying, the groceries. And I had bagging groceries down to a science. You know, I knew how to put the like items with the like items, the eggs, you know, the items that could be very, very soft and couldn't go with the hard items like bread or eggs. I knew how to separate them, and I just headed down to a science. Now, mind you, I'm a junior in high school. And so I'm there after school one day, and I'm bagging up groceries, and I'm chilling, and my line getting kind of long. I'm just like, yo, ain't nobody else going to the other lines. And so I bag up this lady groceries, and I ask her like, yo, you want paper or plastic? So I get the paper out. I bag up my groceries, and I'm taking a look down my aisle like, okay, now my arm's getting tired. When am I going to get a break? And I look up, and I see my dad. He's in my aisle, right? And so my pops had been watching me bag groceries for I don't know how long. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it had to be 3 to 4 to 5 minutes. He had been just sitting there watching me bag up groceries. And the moment my arm's getting tired, and I kind of look up to see how many more people is in my line, we catch eye contact. When we catch eye contact, he does like this grin, like this smile at me. And that was enough affection for me to know that he valued who I was. He valued that I was a kid who, you know what I'm saying, if I wasn't playing basketball, I had a part-time job to keep me busy. And that smile within itself and us catching eye contact, it was like this unsaid feeling of I love you. You know, and so that's me just trying to figure out that lack of affection. And that makes me think, like, nowadays, do my son do that for me? You know, when he's out there playing soccer, when he brings some report card, when he's playing Fortnite, you know, when I pick him up from school, sometimes I need to say I love you, son, and I don't. And I just wonder if he's thinking, like, if he's waiting for that eye-to-eye contact that me and my dad had. And so, you know, it's these triggers again that we deal with. You know, but again, we got to understand that, like I said before at the beginning of the episode, that mental health is understanding that the feelings that we have, they aren't the facts, you know. So again, like, the feelings that I have, they aren't the facts. I think my dad very well loved me. I very well love my wife and my son. And then hence, this is the reason why I decided to be strong for me. This is the reason why I decided to seek therapy. It's to the point where now it's okay for me to be strong for everybody. And to be strong for me, you know, and me being strong is me seeking out therapy or seeking out a therapist, you know. And some days, man, it's a struggle. You know, some days I wake up with two options on my mind, right? I wake up with two options. Now, the first option is that when I wake up, I believe that everything in my life is going to go the wrong way, right? And then I counter that first thought with this second one. You know, I counter it, and I have a battle to think that everything would go the right way. I wake up like this sometimes, right? And so now my brain has this this duality as a default. Now, this default of me trying to battle everything is going to go the wrong way. And so now, man, it just becomes this this major distraction that I deal with on my day-to-day life. And what makes it worse is that I'm somebody that lives inside my own head, you know. So this is a direct recipe to self-sabotage. You know, I'm somebody that's constantly living inside my head, in solitude. You know, sometimes it's nothing wrong with me. Like, if I don't like you, or if I'm just chilling, you know, I spend the entire day quiet. Ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm good. Like, I'm chilling. But that's just how I am. And so it's a bad combination. You know, so if I'm someone that lives inside my head, and then I wake up on most days with these two options, and the first option is that everything is going to go the wrong way, you know, that circles back to me once again when I had the assessment with the therapist. I was like, I don't even know where to start. You know, sometimes I just struggle with it. And you know, as a person, as somebody that lives, you know, introverted, you know, mental health is definitely something that's needed. Whether if everything in your life is going the right way, I would still say it's okay to go out and seek therapy. Hey, but check it. This one is finna drive you nuts right now, right? So because of that, I try to figure things out on my own, right? And so am I thinking that, you know, things are going to go the wrong way as sometimes for work reasons or career-wise with me being in the military? I don't know what it is. I feel like is that the military is not a challenge for me. But I see the benefits within it, and I understand my contract on which I signed, and I know I don't get out or retire until 2026. And the options that the military give me, they're options that I do not want to do. As far as progression wise, the one thing that I do love about the Army and about serving is the people that I have met in my life, the places that I have lived, and the fact that I get to sustain my life and go to school for free. You know, I love education. Unlike if you somebody who listen to Gary Vee all day, he'll tell you something different. But I love education. But I think it's not a dislike, but the fact that I don't feel like I'm challenged enough. I'm constantly living in the future. I'm constantly living in the future. Listen to this close, right? So this is what I do. I think about my retirement date all the time. Now listen, I don't retire until 2026. And I'm thinking about 2026 right now in 2021. You know, I'm thinking about where am I going to live at? What am I going to do for fun? What job am I going to have? And because of that, you know, I find myself on Zillow looking at houses that I'm not about to buy. I find myself on LinkedIn trying to build a resume as if I'm finna go job hunting tomorrow. You know, this is, again, self-sabotaging myself, and I'm forgetting to live my life within the present moment. I don't know why I do that. You know, so I'm interested to bring this point up when I go to therapy next week, because I find myself living in the future. It's crazy, man. I literally be on Zillow looking at houses. I look at houses all the time in the Seattle area. I look at houses all the time in the Austin, Texas area. I look at houses all the time in the St. Louis area if I want to go back home, and New Orleans. You know, these are all four cities that I love and I would love to live in. And I'm projecting myself, you know, 5 years ahead, and I'm forgetting about the present moment, you know. And so, you know, just trying to figure that out within itself, and understanding that I have to live my life day by day. And that's part of my mental health trigger. And so I'm interested to see, you know, the therapist's perspective on that within itself. But even on the days where I'm thinking about if everything is going to go the wrong way, and then I battle that duality with trying to figure out how can I make everything go the right way. Within that, you know what I'm doing? I'm displaying this energy that everything is okay on a daily basis. You know, it's like this cloak that I got on around me, because I have this energy that I give out that's so positive, that makes me look like I'm like the most resilient person ever. And I think I am strong mentally, but I'm starting to understand that it's okay to deal with your mental health. Because me having this shield up, that I have strength and that I have poise, it, you know what it does? It kind of it gives people a chance to have confidence in me. And so when they have confidence in me, because I have up this shield that I have strength and poise on a day-to-day basis, in return, I'm using that energy to appreciate myself. This is what's fueling me. This is what's keeping me going. You know, so this cloak or this shield that I have up, that has this this ultimate you know, depiction or display of confidence, because people are giving me confidence, which makes me appreciate myself. You know, again, man, I find myself stuck with words in this episode because I'm just trying to figure it out, man. I'm just trying to figure it out. You know, and I feel like sometimes, man, the moments that you start to put labels on yourself, you find yourself in situations that aren't productive, you know, and I'm a victim of this. Sometimes I would, you know, I wrote a book and I would say, yeah, you're an author. And then I would find myself having these comparisons. Well, am I the best author? Am I, you know, bottom of the barrel? You know, do I measure this stick of being an author with how many books I've sold? You know, how impactful my book is, the reviews of my book, and there I am again, putting labels on things. It isn't productive. Just sometimes let whatever it is be what it is. Sometimes a title or a label, it isn't necessary. But with that, you know, I said a minute ago that I display this energy that everything is okay on a daily basis. And most days it is. I'm able to function every day. It's just as of late, I'm starting to understand that, you know, it's some things that I can work on. And most importantly, I figured out that you can sound confident and still have anxiety. You can look healthy on the outside, but still feel like crap within. I'm here to tell you that it's okay to be a nervous wreck sometimes. You know, it's okay to be a man and cry. It's okay to have those ugly feelings. You know, because what happens is our minds tend to shape their own reality. It can be a false reality, right? Because our minds will shape this reality for us, and that reality will create, you know, it will chef up these scenarios within your mind that will push this narrative, you know, of you to have these worries, for you to have fear and doubt, for you to have insecurities, you know. But you know, I said it at the beginning of the episode, that remember that these feelings, they aren't facts. You know, they are not the facts. Sometimes this is very well what you're feeling at the moment, but you don't have to self-sabotage and believe. And that's why I say that our minds tend to shape these realities for us. But boy, I tell you, boy, anxiety, it ain't no joke. You feel me? It's this type of irrational thinking that I have had since I was a kid. You know, this trigger, it ties into, you know, dealing with anxiety. What I'm talking about, you know, your mind's shaping up this reality for you. You know what anxiety does for you, man? What anxiety does, it will have you, let's say you at a pool and you're ready to have a great time before you get there. You done planned it out. You know, I plan to, you know, jump into 8 feet with a cannonball. You know, I want to, you know, go on a diving board and jump off with a frontward somersault into the water. You know, I want to dive and go deep into the water. I want to swim. I just want to have fun and get wet. But what anxiety would do, you would get to the pool and it would have you clenching. It would have you holding on to the side of the pool, you know, making you forget that you know how to swim. That's what anxiety does. It would make you forget the reality of who you are and how strong you are. You know, you will have this whole thought process of what you're going to do one day, what you're going to do the next day. And it circles back to that analogy about the pool. You know how to swim. You've been swimming for years. You do the same thing every summer. But sometimes what anxiety would do, it would have you clenching onto the side of the pool, making you forget that you know how to swim. You know what's crazy too, man? What really inspired this episode is that I think I made a post on my Instagram maybe a couple weeks back, and it was like a mental health post. I shared what some dude post. I shared it on my Instagram stories, and one of my good friends was like, "Bro, that was super deep." And you know, he inboxed me. He was just like, "Yo, I'm just gonna check on you from time to time." And this is what, a couple weeks ago, and he called me a couple days ago and was just like, "Bro, I'm just calling you to check in on you, like I said I would do." And our conversation, you know, evolved around mental health, and we had like a 30 minute conversation, and him and I was just going back and forth. And just having that conversation just showed me that I'm not alone in this world of dealing with mental health. I'm not by myself. And so I say that because I feel like sometimes mental health, anxiety, for what I call it a bully. It's this internal bully. You know, it will convince you to have doubt. It will convince you that what you have accomplished in the past, that it isn't good enough. You know, so don't let anxiety be that internal bully that it has been for me. Be that for you. And if you are experiencing those things, then I would say, man, it's okay, man. Seek a therapist. You know, try to find a therapist. Man, y'all don't even know it, but recording this episode, I just took like a 5-minute break, like a mini interlude, bro, just to breathe, because it's heavy for me. Like, this is the most I've talked about my mental health ever in my life, and I'm saying it over a mic so anybody can listen to this. You know, people been listening from Belgium, Germany, all over, you know, and I'm opening up this window as a way to be an advocate, you know, especially dealing with my imposter syndrome. You know, I have mastered the art of being the cheerleader and applauding everybody around me when they graduate, when they get a promotion at work, when they find their significant other in life, when they accomplish anything that they want to accomplish in life. I'm somebody that's right there cheering them on, applauding them. And while I'm being their cheerleader, you know, with me, you know, giving them a round of applause, I'm also realizing that I'm also a novice to myself. A novice, right? Somebody that's inexperienced, as if I can't accomplish those goals myself. So while I'm cheering you on, while I'm telling you, congratulating you on what you did and telling you, yo, that's so dope, bro. You know, I'm striving to get there. I say that a lot too. I'm striving to get there. I need to take that out of my vocabulary. I will get there. You know, just making a definite mark that I'm going to do something. You know, striving leaves this this window of opportunity that I may let myself down. But it's this imposter syndrome that, you know, again, my struggle with it, it creeps back up into my life and pays me a visit when I'm doing those things. You know, and I have become good at recognizing and acknowledging my own self-doubt. But sometimes I'm not proactive with it. Sometimes I'm not proactive enough with it, because I can display or illustrate this facade again, that nothing's wrong with me, that everything in life is easy, everything in life is not a struggle to me, you know. So, and because of that, nobody's really going to ask me, Martin, what's wrong? Martin, what's going on? And then with me living inside my head, it just haven't been a healthy place for me, you know. And then it becomes this measuring stick to believe in myself when I do accomplish goals. So when I do accomplish goals and I deal with imposter syndrome and I'm feeling like, did I trick everybody? What if I let them down? I'm a novice, man. I'm self-sabotaging myself. You know, I'm really thinking, so when I accomplished a goal, when I, you know, wrote the book, when I done my first episode of the podcast, when I sold my first book, when I, you know, graduated from college with my associates and my bachelor's and now working on a graduate degree and soon to be a doctorate degree, I'm thinking to myself, man, like, did I trick everybody? Or will I let them down? Self-sabotaging myself. And it's this feeling of feeling like, you know, what imposter syndrome does is, you know, before I say this, I said anxiety. I named it the internal bully because it tricks our mind into this false reality. But what imposter syndrome does, it makes you feel like you're a fraud. It makes you feel like, you know, you're not worthy of what you have accomplished. You're not worthy from all the hard work and dedication that you have put in. Again, like I've been saying, man, these feelings aren't the facts. Yes, they're how you feel, but they are not the facts. And this is what mental health does for you. This is what going to therapy does for you. It helps you understand your mental health. It helps you understand that it's a false reality. Yes, it could be something that happened to you, but it's only a feeling. It's only a feeling, you know. And sometimes they derive from our childhoods, and so that impact functions, or it helps us function as how we are as adults. I think I said that wrong. So our childhood impacts us. And it makes us who we are today in so many words, right? Case in point. All right. Case in point. Growing up, again, was extremely difficult. Now, if you want to read more about how I grew up, you got to get the book. All right. And again, shameless plug, right? The book is at my website, www.martinjali.com. You can get the ebook version, the physical copy, right? But the book deals with childhood trauma, mental health, and self-empowerment. Self-empowerment. The childhood part. So one of the things that I always wanted growing up was my own room. That's all I wanted, man. I just wanted my own room. I wanted this whole thing with superheroes all around. And dealing with my mental health Man. So check this out. My wife would sometimes hit these triggers that deal with my childhood and how I function as an adult. And I don't even realize it. But this one thing in particular that I do, it's my son, right? So my son is 13. He lives inside his room, right? His door's always closed. And middle school kids, they had a weird age where their bodies are starting to develop, their minds are starting to grow, you know, they're starting to understand everything around them. But my son is so much like me. He lives inside his head. He's the only kid, but his room is his safe place, right? Now for me, as a kid growing up, all I wanted was my own room. And the fact that all he cares about is his computer monitors, if they work, if the Wi-Fi has a strong connection, and he's good. And so he doesn't mind the room not having a theme to it. And me as a kid, all I wanted was a theme. And so I find myself decorating my son's room for him, putting up posters, you know, rearranging the room to make it feel bigger than what it is, setting up his desk for him. So all while I'm setting up his room for him, my wife goes one day, she was like, "Martin, like, why you always trying to, you know, decorate Kamar's room for?" And I'm just like, you know what? I think the reason why I do it is because I never had my own room growing up as a kid. And so what I'm doing is I'm living out my childhood as an adult right now through decorating my son's room. This is very important to say, man, because your childhood is extremely critical to your behavior. You know, that connection of the past and your adult life, it helps you to understand the world you live in. You know, how you make decisions, how confident you are, how you exhibit compassion. If you're going to suppress emotions, you know, these things all function and derive at times from your childhood. And just with that, man, I just ask anybody to recognize their own strengths, recognize their own weaknesses, and just figure out how to, you know, be better at it, how to have good mental health. You know, I'm not going to take up too much more of your time, but, you know, the importance of having, you know, good mental health allows you to, you know, assess life differently. It prevents you from trying to prove yourself. You know, it can help you make informed decisions, you know, and it shows you how they can impact and have influence on your experiences in life. And so lastly, what I'm gonna do is this ain't for y'all, this is for me, but I'm gonna tell y'all my top five ways to improve your mental health. All right, so the number one thing out of my top five to improve your mental health and to have good mental health is to change your attitude. Simple, just change your attitude. You know, when I talked about me waking up and having this feeling of you know, everything is going to go wrong, change it up, think the opposite. You know, I wake up, you know, I'm realizing that I'm going to manifest everything that I do want to do, and I manifest that everything is going to go its proper way, right? So that's number one. The second one, focus one day at a time. I talk about me living in the future. I talk about me living and thinking about my retirement date from the military because I'm so anxious on what my next chapter in life will look like, because I'm shaping it now. But just not to forget to live in the present moment. So my number two is to focus and to take life one day at a time, right? Number three, stop procrastinating. Just stop it. You know, if it's something that you want to accomplish in life, You have set a goal for yourself. You know how to reach those goals. Just stop procrastinating. Go out there and do it. It will help with your mental health. The number four thing is to quit a bad habit. Quit a bad habit. If you find yourself not eating healthy, not exercising how you should be exercising, if you find yourself being a hermit because you've been living in a pandemic and working remotely from home and not just being the functional self that you used to being, you know, the number four thing to do to improve your mental health is to quit a bad habit. And lastly, my number five, which is my number one, you have to acknowledge your flaws. Acknowledge your flaws. That's what, in a reality, that's what I have done. And that's the reason why I have seeked the therapist. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, man. I just tried to, think about me going to therapy as of late and how I want to keep this theme going, how I want to become an advocate for mental health. And I want everybody to be healthy mentally. I want everybody to dig deep and figure out if there's something that they, you know, want to overcome in their life. And that's basically what the book is about. Again, all this derived from me writing my book. And if you want to get your copy, you can get a copy of the book, The Last to Finish. And I think after this episode, you can kind of hence the reason why I called the book The Last to Finish. But you can get your copy, ebook or paperback version at www.martinjali.com. Hey, again, I just want to thank y'all for listening. And this is the Last Call for Knowledge podcast, a podcast where we have discussions to increase our knowledge and ways to engage about all things that are socially conscious, and also a way to empower each other by reporting on issues through diverse perspectives. I am your host, Martin Ali. Thank you for listening. Peace and love. And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Peace.